The numbers told the story. They always do.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game with VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Gil Alexander, of course, brought to you by BetMGM Nevada, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. And hour number two on Thursdays means but one thing, unscripted, with Bill Krakenberger, the Crackman. His intro music in studio. How you doing, Billy?
Good. How we doing? Thank you.
Good. You were just mentioning off air that you had dinner with the great Tony Orlando last night.
Yeah. We were up at Tuscany Grill, local spot here. Really cool, old school spot. I knew he'd love that. And he has a home in that area, but he's never been there.
Wow.
So, yeah, he's at a home in Henderson. And
that's run by old school Vegas guys.
Yeah, these two guys, Mike and Lou, have been in town, I think, 60 years, and they used to be dealers in casinos back in 1970, and they just have stories about everything being here that long, and
another spot I got to get to.
Oh yeah, and the food's great, by the way.
Yeah,
not just the camaraderie.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah. No, the food really is good.
So, but the part that caught my attention, though, you were talking about how you got emotional with him last night. He was telling stories about his buddies dying and stuff. And
usually, my podcast is an hour, so every week we film for 1 hour. Usually, by the time it's cut down, it's about 45 minutes. That's when you really don't want to go over that. You lose the customer. You lose the viewer.
Wisecracks, the name of Bill's podcast, which he does with Tony's son, John Orlando.
Yeah, John Orlando is. And we've had some unbelievable guests over the times. Matter of fact, last night, Tony called up Joe Torre, because Tony's friends with everybody. I mean, he's telling stories about he was sitting with Billy Martin and Mickey Mantle in the stands. Tony was very close to Tommy Lasorda, very close to him. So he was telling stories about when he was sitting in there with Mickey and Billy Martin, and these old Yankee stories and stuff that he really probably hasn't told in years. He said just some really good stories. But going back to that, he calls up Joe Torre. He's like, "God, you got to go on my son's show," you know. And this is baseball royalty. Probably,
sure.
Maybe the commissioner one day. This guy really is. He works for ML. I think he works for Major League Baseball. But
Tony Orlando, who will be lost to a certain sect of this audience, Tony Orlando in the 70s primarily was a. I mean, to say that he was a large star is not an understatement, because there was only three networks at the time.
Yeah, he pointed that out last night when we were on air. You know, so we normally do a 45-minute podcast. We went over 2 hours on our podcast yesterday. We might have to break it up. But Tony was saying, you know, there's only three networks back in 1974. It was ABC, CBS, NBC, and there was PBS Local, which is, everyone had. Even in New York, we had that.
Right.
So Tony was saying that the share he got every week, he had like a 36 share, which is unheard of today.
He had his own show?
Yeah, Tony Orlando and Dawn.
Tony Orlando and Dawn.
Oh, yeah. They had not only their own show, the list of people that were on the show every week were the top in the world.
It was in the 70s what was called a variety show.
That's what it was, right. It wasn't like a talk show like Carson. It was a variety show.
So there was music and comedy sketches.
Music and comedy sketches. That's exactly correct.
But not like risque Saturday Night Live ones. Just, made for network TV kind of thing.
Made for network TV, yeah. Jackie Gleason was his first guest, which I loved.
Good Lord.
I loved the great Gleason.
His biggest hits, this is where it gets interesting to me.
Yeah.
His biggest hits were Knock Three Times.
Yep.
Knock Three Times on the Ceiling.
Yep.
And then Tie That Yellow Ribbon.
Right.
Tie That Yellow Ribbon Tree.
Yep. Which has got to be a really, really big song because of the people that were, the service members that were away, whether it be Iraq or wherever, when there was a war going on or fighting going on or just your, obviously your maybe your son or whatever, daughter away from home, and you tie a yellow ribbon on it. Just became so much of an Americana song,
yeah,
and a piece of America. And one thing, he's a real patriot guy. He loves America, just like I do. So it was just so good that he talked about how the networks. The next studio was Little House on the Prairie, was Michael Landon, who he was good friends with, and they would compete. Every week, what was your share this week? What was your share this week? And they were Little House on Prairie was a giant show back then, and top rated show. They used to get like a 32 share, and Tony's show got like a 36 share. So he was just saying about now the network moves him after 3 years. They move him. They say, "Well, we need to boost up Tuesday nights." Well, What do you think the show they put him against? One of the, I think it was the number one show back then, Happy Days.
Oh, boy.
So they put him against Happy Days, and, of course, they failed at that time slot because you're going against Happy Days. You're going against, you know, top show, and half the country watched Happy Days.
So let's think about that. So ratings, for those just a little inside baseball on television, ratings is the audience of a particular program at a specific period of time expresses a percent of the audience population.
Right.
Of the audience population. Shares, right, which is what you're referring to, is the audience of a particular television show expresses a percent of the population viewing. So so basically 36% or whatever number you just gave, yep, of all TVs on, yes, had their eyes on Tony.
Correct.
That is unheard of today.
It's unheard of.
Today.
It's unheard of.
Because it's all splintered today.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's how it was back
but
in the
day. But his guests were just unbelievable. I mean, Sinatra, Dean Martin.
Oh.
This was
We were too young for that. Like, I have the vaguest recollection of this show.
I don't remember it at all.
Yeah.
No, I don't remember it.
But I know the songs.
Oh, yeah, you know the songs, though. Sure.
So now, you're saying one of those songs he gets paid nothing for?
Well, I said, Tony, you know, the Saints of Newark, the Sopranos movie. He goes, I know, I heard my songs in there, knocked three times. I said, do you get something for that? He goes, no. Of course not. The record producers,
record
companies, right.
Were the worst.
Yeah.
Were the worst. Like, there's been books written on how artists back in the day, those labels, they just killed those artists, man. They made nothing. Unless they had, like, three or four consecutively successful albums, then they started to make something. But you're saying the other one, That Yellow Ribbon.
Tie That Yellow Ribbon, he does get something, though, he said. He worked it out where he does get something whenever it's played somewhere.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, it is good. It is good. I'll tell you why it's good. And I'm only saying this to everyone because Tony said this to everyone on my podcast. So Tony had a female that was managing his career that he was very close to since they were very young. She lived here in Vegas. And one day, Tony found out that all his money was gone.
It's such a typical story in music.
Typical story.
Yeah.
She stole $10 million
and blew
it all in the casinos.
Oh, my God.
And then killed herself.
Oh.
Yeah, she committed suicide.
Was Tony a better at all?
No.
Not sports, not anything?
No. Nope. And he was a knock-around guy from back home from Jersey.
$10 million
New York. $10 million were stolen from him. It's the reason he has to work today. 1999, he literally went to go write a check and it bounced. And he's like, well, how can that be? I got millions of dollars.
Because you hear about these artists, like Billy Joel had a similar story,
he mentioned
right?
It. He said Billy Joel's brother-in-law stole like $40 million off him. He mentioned it on air yesterday.
So Toni Braxton had hers, I think, taken too. But the difference is that Billy Joel can go out and do one concert and he's back to, you know.
He's coming here. He's coming to Allegiant.
I know, man. I know.
Yeah, no.
But Toni can't do that anymore.
No, but he does perform. He's going to be here in April for three nights. He was just here in December. He does tour around. And, you know, he mentioned how rich he is, though, still, internally. Just the things he's done. He's played for 8 presidents in a row in the White House.
Wow.
8 presidents in a row, been in the White House for 8 different presidents. And
he's much younger. You were saying he's 77?
Yeah.
I would have guessed far older.
No, 77. He played for the Queen of England. I mean, he played for so many. The things he says he's done, he was an executive that wasn't even supposed to be a singer. He was a record executive, wasn't he supposed to be a singer, and someone had to fill in. Just you back into things in life, and he mentioned all the different things that basically life was about a lot of luck. He was an executive that someone brought him a record, and he started humming it. Or, you know, next thing you know, he said, I try to sing it, and then next thing you know, he's a singer. I mean, it's amazing. He wasn't, he wanted to be an entertainer when he was younger, but
it's amazing.
He lost that dream, he thought. And then at a young age, he was working for Clive Davis. Legendary Clive Davis. And literally, he went and recorded on a different label without Clive knowing. And Clive wound up, you know, going back to him and saying, oh, we heard this is you. You're using a different name. And here, you know, this the legendary Tony Orlando was born. And the stories he told about, you know, Freddie Prinze, who was Chico and the Man, and a young guy in his 20s, you know, killed himself and dying, and Tony's the last guy he was with. And
did he come on your podcast to tell these stories?
Oh, yeah.
He did.
Oh, yeah.
So this is all the latest.
I don't know how I guess we're going to release it in two parts. I just let Tony talk. He talked about everything. He talked about Frank Sinatra. Oh, man, the Sinatra thing was very sad, but it's not sad. Frank Sinatra invited Tony and his wife to his house for a dinner party, and Tony's wife, they wind up arguing or something. Tony called up and told Barbara that he was sick, that he's not going to make it. And Sinatra, the next night, I guess, you know, they didn't see each other. And then Frank seen him, you know, maybe a couple months later, and he snubbed Sinatra. Sinatra snubbed him. He said, "Tony, I heard the next night you were out to dinner somewhere. So you're too sick to come to my house, but you're okay to never lie to somebody. Never lie to a friend." And he got mad at him and just started. That was the last time he talked to him. Huh. But they had so many stories together that Tony was like heartbroken. He's like, "This, I've been with Frank so many times at his house and everything, but Frank didn't like that he lied." And you know, you make an excuse when you're sick or something. You don't want to go. It's a 2-hour drive from LA to Palm Springs. And it hurt him so bad when Frank died. And he went to Barbara, and, you know, the wife, and consoled her. And 7 years later, Barbara called him and said, "Hey, can you do this charity event we're doing?" And he went over to the house and talked to her, and he said, "I was so upset that Frank was upset at me." And she says, "He loved you. He was heartbroken. He loved you. So you understand, I knew all about this, Tony." You know, just the good stories about Sinatra. Priscilla Presley was just on his show in New York. He does a show every Saturday night for 2 hours on 770 AM, which, by the way, one of the great radio stations I grew up with as a kid. We had three stations in New York that I liked. That was one of them. And, so he does show every Saturday, and he's got the list of the top people in the world that come on his show. It's unbelievable.
Latest edition of the Wisecracks podcast that Bill does with John Orlando, Tony's son, Tony Orlando, in two parts. Thank you for sharing that. Appreciate that. Bill has some, no surprise here, some issues with some sports books.
How do you know that?
I don't know.
Oh.
We might have texted.
Oh.
We'll get into some of that. We'll do that next. It's a numbers game at Visa, unscripted with the Crack Man, the Sports Betting Network.
Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on the numbers game, unscripted with the Crack Man. We get tweets, that beating the book. Got some Tony Orlando tweets for you here before we get into your bookmaking thing. Hey, don't forget Candida, which is basically knock three times with different words. That's from Doug Wedge.
Cranepool. That was his first song.
Yeah, great. Cranepool. Because you guys are too young to remember the Tony Orlando and Dawn show, also forget to mention Tony was the New York host for the Jerry Lewis telethon.
Yes, he mentioned that. Very good, Kane. You're absolutely right.
Well,
yes, he
there
was.
There was that. Okay, so you texted me earlier this week, I think it was, or was it the weekend?
This week.
I
texted you right when it happened.
You were mad.
I just thought of you immediately, what we talked about in the studio about these new sports books when they get here. Are the current sports books situated and ready to handle what's going to happen, which means they're going to lose business to the bigger names like DraftKings and FanDuel and stuff.
They ain't ready.
They're going to lose business unless they're prepared for it and can equally match it or have some kind of a level of customer service to retain the retention of the customers they have now. So my neighbor who lives in the building. Oh, there's
Mr. Oh, tell your story.
That's the problem with coming on Thursdays. You know, if something happens on the weekend, I can't really get it out there Monday when I'm steaming. But don't worry. It's really easy for me to get steamed.
I know.
Oh, so.
We don't hate them when that happens.
So, yeah. So over at Boyd, which last year, by the way, I was betting some props at the window for $500 to $1,000 on Monday night. And they said, "Can you play on the app?" I played on the app, and when the app didn't move, I went to the counter. So I hit an 8-to-1 shot for $1,000. I won $8,000, and was happily, was happy at one. But the next week they weren't happy at one. So what happened the next week? I went to the counter, and they said, "No, only app betting. You can't bet at the counter any of your props. You have to go to the app only." So I went to the app, and everything was $100 max. So basically, they don't want my business, and they tried to, you know, be like, you know, a nice advanced app, which I think Jeff and I were just saying on the break. I think they're using the FanDuel lines or one of the lines back there. I think it's FanDuel.
I think so.
And so I was happy when I seen that. I originally said, "Oh, good, maybe they'll have some kind of management overseas, run the lines," and the current management here, I don't know what they're here for, but they're here for something. Lunches or something. So anyway, so they actually turned me down for $100. It kind of aggravated me, but you know, it's just another sports book that turns you down. That, you know, we're actually, sports betting is literally the only thing in the world where you get mistreated for being a winner.
Oh,
I played stickball when I'm a kid. I'm playing softball, kickball, little league. Everything you want to win is a good thing.
Not sports only betting, mistreated, but accused of stuff you're not doing,
yeah,
apparently.
Sports betting is the only thing you get mistreated for being a winner. So anyway, for certain sports books like these guys. So now my friend who he's not a trust fund guy, but you know, he's got a couple million on the stock market. He shows me this statement last year when he lost $300,000, you know, in a week. He was very upset, which of course he recovered big time since then. And I know that he gets these dividends and stuff. He gets over $100,000 a year just off his just interest and stuff off his investments.
Passive income.
He blows it all, every penny of it. He's a stone cold sucker. Would never listen to me. Hmm. He blows every penny of it playing slot machines, sports book, horses, loves horses, totally addicted. He really could be the poster boy for GA. So but he's a nice guy, and we talk all the time. And he says to me, "You're not going to believe what happened to me. I put a $200 teaser at the window of the Orleans where I'm always there playing horses. And the supervisor comes over and says to me, you're a horse player. Why are you betting sports? How can that question even be asked? What's it matter? Your horse goes, I'll give you $50. I'm not giving you $200. This was an 18 teaser, 15-1. So it pays.
You're a horse player.
Why are you betting sports? That's what he asked him. That was the first question. And he goes, all right, yeah, I'll give you $50. I can't give you $200. So 15-1. By the way, the first game on the he's a Jonah. He's a jinx. He can't win. He's dead. Bet against him. You can make money. The first game lost. First game on the board. The first game of his eight-leg teaser lost. So
it's the old story Chrissy tells. Like, oh, you cost me an eight game. You cost me an eight-leg teaser. Or parlay with this. Yeah.
So, but anyway, I can't believe finally he made a decision where he said the next day, oh, you can't put this on there. You can't talk about this with anyone because I love to go there. It's one of my casinos I go to. And then I said, oh, man, really? He goes, no, you can't talk about it. An hour later, he goes, you know what? I'm not going there no more. I'm done going to any of the Coast casinos, any of the Boyd casinos. I'm not going to any of them. Do what you want. So, you know, I'm going to do it.
You tweeted this.
I tweeted it. Got a ton of views.
Let's put the tweet up.
And
here.
Then with the tweet that the last tweet that they put up, Boyd Gaming, was we are the game has changed. It's game changer. So my little sarcastic, yes, you guys at Boyd certainly have changed the game.
You said the legendary casino figure Sam Boyd would be flipping in his grave. Grave if he knew what happened.
Oh, definitely.
Doing sports books.
Took a bet. Yeah, yeah. He took a bet, like Benny Binion and the old timers in town. They took a bet. So these the current management, the current way it's run. But I may have to give, like, the guy on top, Bob Scucci, you may want to give him a pass or you may not. Because I'll tell you, maybe Bob doesn't know what's going on in his sports book at nighttime. It was 8 o'clock at night, and maybe the internal supervisors who are there, which I know some casinos in town, the supervisors behind the desk, they're the ones that have the permission to approve. It doesn't go to a central hub. So maybe the guy behind the desk, this situation, the supervisor, he just didn't want to approve it because if someone wins $3,000 on his shift, right, you know, maybe a couple guys win, and they say, wait, who won all this money on your shift, Joe, or whatever his name was.
We spoke a little bit about that last week where you wonder if some of these guys feel empowered,
yeah,
right, or feel like they're playing, they're operating scared the whole time.
But he's being paid to take bets and on volume. And by the way, this is a double-digit hold. This is a ticket that holds a ridiculous amount of percentage. This ain't a straight bet of 4.5%. Well, you still should take it. This is something that holds five times that. So
I'm not making excuses. What I'm saying is either way, it's not good.
Yeah.
Based on what's going to come, right? Like this notion that somehow this antiquated Vegas culture of not taking bets, kicking people out for quote unquote compliance reasons,
yeah,
like making a story up as,
sure,
to why, lying about people who win money from you,
right,
making up stories about them, impugning their character, like get over yourselves. Them days are done,
right,
or you're going to be done.
The compliance thing is ridiculous. Stations tried to use that with me. Art Menteris himself, at least he did have the nerve to talk to me. Most people hide behind the desk. Try to talk to Jason McCormick. He runs in the back room. So, but Art actually did talk to me about it. And, you know, it's a lie. I mean, that's just what they do. They lie. Oh, compliance. They don't want you. Put it this way. College basketball is coming up, guys, in 3 weeks. I may take a volunteer to go to any of the station's casinos with me. Now, here's the condition. You have to be willing to be thrown out or just given the old, you can come to the counter once a day.
You have to be able to stomach that.
Yes. So I'll take you, or whatever it may be. You'll run to the counter. I'll bet anyone $100,000 versus 10. I'll give you 10,000. I'll give you literally 10 to 1 odds, but I'm not doing it for less than 10 grand. I want to win 10 grand. Mm-hmm. I'll put up 100,000. Gil, you can hold the money. I'll bet by the end of the day, and by the way, it's going to be in an hour or two, but by the end of the day, you're told you can only bet once per day. You can only come to the counter once per day, just following what I'm going to give you the bet in college basketball the first 2 weeks. That's true. So I'm going to send you to the counter. You're going to run up to the counter. You're going to bet $2,000 a game. And by probably the third or fourth bet, they're going to tell you, you could only bet once per day, whoever that particular, and I don't have runners, I don't use them. So
let me interject, because I think this is the main point that I think we'd want to make here is, if your business model is clear that this is not what you want, like let's take, for instance, we talked about Resorts World. Resorts World clearly doesn't want to be taking bets, right?
Correct.
And so as a result of that, they've been pretty, it's clear by their actions from the beginning, we don't really get upset about it because we know that's their model, right? They're not about that. What's bothersome is when a book claims to be something they are not.
Yes.
That's the issue,
yes,
right?
Yes.
That's
yes.
The issue. It's when, oh, you want to talk all this. By the way, you want to do some book-on-book violence in some of your talking also? Y'all, you guys aren't fooling anybody.
Right.
With some. That's. I think that's the issue.
Yeah.
Just be honest about who you are, and then, again, just using, I don't mean to pick on Resorts World, you're allowed to be whatever you want to be.
Right.
It's like William Hill back in the day, because I think they've changed a little bit, by the way.
They have.
But their business model was clearly, don't come here, we're going to kick you out, don't mess around. And so you had to sort of play their game. But they stated something otherwise publicly. That's why it was so loathsome to us.
Yeah, Nick Bogdanovich would come on here saying, oh, the sharp guys, the wise guys are on this, the sharp guys are on that.
Right.
And I almost said, like, how do you know, Nick?
That's the issue.
But you took bets on it? No.
It's sort of a reflection of other things of the human condition. It's just, you know, be clear about what it is that you
are. And just to not to confuse people here, the only reason why I told that story about going to the counter at stations is because Gil said compliance issues. So compliance is what I'm talking. Now stations will use that. Oh yeah, you're not allowed to no more because of compliance issues. Which is, it's not. It's because you beat the line.
Anyway. We'll explain that after the break as well. Unscripted with the Crack Man, Bill Krakenberger. You can follow him on Twitter at Bill Krakman with the K. Coming back on the Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Make this football season your best sports betting season ever. Start your VSiN free trial today to get full access to our sports betting experts, including 24/7 video streaming, daily best bet emails, betting splits with the money and ticket percentages of every game, plus full access to VSiN.com data and analysis. You get everything VSiN has to offer for only $22 per month. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Speaking of data, we had a JVT on, Jeff, our senior NBA analyst, Jonathan Von Tobel, who also co-hosts The Edge with Matt Humans. He was mentioning, because he was on Primetime Action last night, and I asked him about, what was that New York Knicks stat from last year where they had like the highest percentage of opponents' open three-point jumpers? So the Knicks like laid off a lot of their opponents shooting threes, and they got lucky because the other team that they were letting have these open threes were just missing them at a historic rate. And so I asked him last night if, you know, that was happening here early in the very early going of the NBA season. I'm just talking about what you can get at VSiN.com/subscribe if you get 24/7 access to all that we do. And JVT says, he said the Knicks are giving up wide open threes on 23.8% of opponent attempts this season, second highest rate. Opponent shooting 35.2% on those attempts, 10th highest. Last year, it was 20.4% frequency, 25th in terms of opponent attempts. And then opponent attempts, and then 34.7% shooting last season, which was second. So it's kind of like what was going on last year. And the follow-up question for JVT was, is this, do you think this is by design? Do the Knicks know who to lay off of in terms of opponent three-point shooting? He said it is to a certain extent, sagging off the poorest shooters to limit penetration. But what happens, you know, he correctly says, but what happens when you play a team like the Hawks who have multiple three-point shooters like in the playoffs? He said we'll learn a lot about the Knicks against the Bulls, for instance, in their next game tonight. So that will be interesting. Is that tonight or tomorrow night, the Knicks-Bulls game? Tonight, yes. So that should be interesting. By the way, how about the Lakers dropping a 26-point lead to the Thunder last night and getting crushed? What was that? You follow that game?
Well, I did until halftime, and then I determined that it was over, and then I checked my my app to see if there was any in-game opportunities across the board, and saw Oklahoma City was leading.
I took the Lakers plus 3.5 at one point, figuring, oh, this is, you got to be kidding me. I'll roll through it. They got crushed. Amazing. Bill Krakenberger here, unscripted on a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. One day when we have the VSiN plus 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 account, we'll do our off-the-air stuff.
Okay,
we'll
great.
Include that.
Good. Yeah. We had some off-air stuff. I've never seen Gil like this. It got me excited. You know something? I was down at the Circa on the weekend. I had some buddies come in town from Cleveland, and went down there to watch a game with him. And Derek came up to me. Mike Palm came up to me. And he was, I don't realize what a big fan he is of the show. He's like, I watched you guys. Oh, it was on Thursday. So it was Thursday Night Football, Cleveland played. That was it. Came up. And he's like, oh, I watched you guys. You know, great show. Love you. Love watching you. And they're fans of the show. They watch every week. I like that. I like that they get into it. And you know, it takes a certain person to take someone like me sometimes. I'm very direct. I'm too blunt sometimes. Sometimes I say things I shouldn't say. But
Mike is a fan of your sort of unexpected comedy.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, I'm just, all I'm doing is talking fact. I'm not making up things. I just shoot from the hip and, you know, I don't get paid to be here.
Jeff won't like this, but his favorite crack comment was the sniffles remark. That's Mike Palm's favorite thing in the world.
Oh, really? Jeff's mom appreciate that or something? Or
somebody.
I think
did.
His mom was like, or dad, and someone said, I mean,
someone in the family enjoyed the remark.
Yeah. Well, Jeff's back. I didn't know he was behind the glass that day.
Someone in the parlay family.
Yeah. But, so anyway, no, and I talked to Derek, and you know, we're on down there. So hey, Circa guys, we're on live at the Circa. Anyway, so but yeah, it's a great atmosphere there. People are so nice, and it just I was down there on a week. It's one thing I wanted to talk about. But go back to downtown, and I want to finish off with this whole Boyd thing. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of about a decade ago, maybe more, maybe the you know, someone else, maybe you could help me. Who did Carolina play in the Super Bowl? Did Carolina play the Eagles, maybe? I don't know who it was. But
didn't Carolina play New England?
Oh, the New England?
Carolina played New England and Denver.
Yeah. Okay.
England back in the day, they lost by a field goal.
Okay, well, it was either the Carolina Denver Super Bowl or a New England Super Bowl.
In Denver, they got crushed.
The line was 7. I remember that. It was 6.5, 7. Whoever was in that Super Bowl, could have been the Eagles or Carolina. And my buddy's like, wow, they have a 7 at Coast Properties on Don Best. You run across the street, because we were at the Golden Nugget, and see what they'll take on the 7. I said, yeah, I'll go over there and see what they take on the 7. Go across the street, go to the boy, and I'll never forget this. So I wish I had my phone out. The guy said, I said, how much can I bet on the Super Bowl? You guys taking good bets? And he said, well, he goes, yeah, of course. I said, okay, give me $22,000 plus the 7. And he's like, oh, no, but not on that side. We'll take the other side of the game. We'll take the other side, but we won't take that side. I've never, ever been told anything like that, and I've been told that from other people that's happened at certain properties. Imagine that.
Wait, say again, what did
Super
they do?
Bowl time.
Yeah.
Go into the counter, give me $22,000 on the plus 7. It was the only 7, 6.5 everywhere. And he said, no, we're not taking that side.
We're not taking
that kind of bets on that side. Well, the other side, we could take a bet, but not that side.
Wow.
You think that would be illegal, right? You think, oh my God, if gaming ever knew that. No. Gaming, you can call gaming, and they're going to tell you, because I've called. Gaming hates me, probably, how many times I've called them. I haven't called them in 2 years. Maybe there might be some new guys there now.
Kangaroo Court.
Shake them up. Gaming will say, you know, it's private property. They can do what they want. They can do whatever they want. It's private property. It's their sports book. They can do whatever they want. So, of course, ethically, it's wrong. Morally, it's wrong. I mean, you know, you're a sports book, and you have a line that you're – You're only going to get guys that are taking the 7 when it's 6.5 next door across the street. So, but they didn't. That happened to me personally. I've seen it with my own eyes. So that's one other thing that Boyd has done in the past. So
the compliance, I want to, because some people are like, "What are you guys talking about with compliance?" I just want to sort of define that to people.
That. Yep.
So, I know this for a fact again, and this is, I'll use one story. A very successful, better friend of mine. At what would be considered a book that claims to never throw people out here in town, right, was scuttled, was said, hey, you can't. First, they told them you can't be on the property anymore, right? And then it got ratcheted back to you just can't bet here. But it was based on a compliance issue, right? So he won a six-figure bet from them, low six figures, but a six-figure bet from them. Nonetheless, which is enough to make an impression, let's put it that way. And they, we checked and you don't have any source of income and regular source of income and, blah, 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 compliance. And we can't mess around with compliance issues. So basically it was them finagling a way to figure out how to kick him out.
Right.
Hiding under that guise.
That's perfect, Gil.
Yes.
They actually finagle the way and think about,
yes,
what can we do? A, B, C, D, E. Mm-hmm. Oh, E. Oh, there it is. They can kick him out for E.
Yes.
Find out reasons why. That's exactly what they do, and that's what I was talking about before. By the way, I kind of was going
Let me tell y'all something. The guys that did that, y'all ain't fooling anybody.
All right.
None of you.
That's what I was going through fast before. That's what I was meaning with stations. They'll use the compliance reason, even though I'm just beating the line by 2 points, and they'll throw you out. So they'll make once a day you can bet, or you cannot bet at all. But right, compliance is the thing they hide behind. What else? Like I have
and compliance is compliance. Just to give to also just sort of flesh it out. It is a serious thing. Compliance for them, right? As casinos, they absolutely can't buck compliance issues, right?
Right.
So they do get to hide behind that. I'm not saying that is not kosher. They do get to, but they would have to creatively figure that out to get to that point is the point of that story. Yeah.
Right, right. And you know what? I don't want to sound like I'm being so negative on casinos. And I used to write an article for a Casino Player magazine years ago, and I had a moniker that I used, and it was the Aggravated Gambler segment. I'm not trying to be Aggravated Gambler. I love some of the properties that I'm talking about. Gold Coast has Ping Pang Pong. I love that restaurant.
Ping Pang Pong.
Oh, I love that restaurant. Yeah. I mean, and plus, by the way, if you're coming to town to gamble, that's a gambling joint. You might have to deal with the smoke, but that's a gambling joint. You go in there, they'll give you a gamble. There's 30 baccarat tables going on the weekend, 10 blackjack tables, craps tables, and low limits. It's a gambling joint. It's a great place to gamble. It really is. We're talking about the sports book side of things. Stations, I love, like Red Rock and these places of Green Valley Ranch. I love that property. I love these properties. This has nothing to do with, this is just talking about the sports end of it and the way the sports book guys treat you.
It just gets back to what I was saying before, which is, again, are you booking or are you not? Are you exactly who you say you are or are you not? Because if you're not who you say you are, then don't say that anymore. Like, stop with it. Stop, not mentioning the fine print in certain things. Stop doing that stuff.
Right.
Because we all know about it.
Right. The big signs that they put around town. Yeah. We love winners.
Yeah.
With a girl winning a Keno jackpot of $2,000 with a ticket in her hand. Yeah, sure. Unless you win consistently.
You have a whole list there. What else do you want to get to there?
I'll never get to it all.
Well, just give me one more here.
Okay. My buddy's leaving town. So, buddy, I don't really have too many friends in town. People think I'm the happiest guy, a go-lucky guy. I really don't have a lot of people that I call friends that I actually invited him over to Thanksgiving when my mom was here with us. And he's been here 8 years. And he gives me a phone call. We got a long break?
I misread the clock.
You misread the clock.
We got 27. We'll hold on to that after the break. My bad. That was my fault. I ran you into it.
No problem.
Coming back, Bill Krakenberg, everybody. At Bill Krakman with a K. Unscripted with the Krakman on the Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sign up today at BetMGM and enjoy the thrill of victory on your very first bet. The King of Sportsbooks welcomes you to Showtime with the Lock of the Year. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on either Green Bay or Arizona, and if either team scores a touchdown, you'll win $200 in free bets, regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use bonus code VSiN200 when you make your first bet to take advantage of the offer. Enjoy football like never before with BetMGM's live betting options, boosted odds specials, and daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code VSIN200 to win $200 in free bets. If either Green Bay or Arizona scores a touchdown, new customer offer paid in free bets. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate all of the feedback. Kenny G, my favorite part of the week with you and Bill. Love the stories. Thanks, Kenny G. This is from Riley Grannon. Enjoy Bill Krakenberger appearances every week on A Numbers Game with Gil. Always learn the latest on what's happening in sports wagering industry from a bettor's perspective. We appreciate that. This is from Scott, New York, Mets 16. You know the East Coast has your back, Bill. I would gladly fly to Vegas and place these bets.
My man.
If I get tossed, I'll still be paying you with their money. This is from Joby. Great discussion with the crack man. This goes back to a point that Jason Weingarten made a few months back on your show, that books should post publicly what the limits are for everyone in every market. The fact that there are asymmetric rules for different bettors is mind-boggling. Very good tweet.
Very good tweet.
Alexander Katsianis. He said, Gil, you may want to look at this article. He said, the French authority warns operators who block bets. That's something happening in France, dovetailing off what we were talking about right there. Wilkman, Thursdays with Crackman, best hour of the week. Also, I miss the tennis picks. There were no tennis picks today. Alexander Katsianis, adds, Gil, huge fan of the show. You're the best. Next time you're at Borgata, tweet me, I owe you dinner. Thought you'd like to hear about this if you haven't already. That's the French authority story. Brian Young, another great segment with the Crackman. Great stuff every week on A Numbers Game. And on, appreciate it. We could just reading them, but really appreciate it.
Jim's a good guy. This guy Jim said something too about the apps in Jersey.
Yes, that was the next one I was going to read.
Vegas. Some of the apps in Jersey, absolutely. You're right, Jim.
He wrote, some of these apps in Jersey are a joke, limited to peanuts for being up $6K over a few months. $1 billion companies that are publicly traded, limiting a player for such a small win. What a joke, he says. And then somebody complimented my haircut, man. Matt, Warrior 013. Your hair is on point. Thanks, buddy. Yeah. Appreciate that. Good. Hey, man.
You should look like a character out of like Reservoir Dogs or something.
Eric the Barber, Gentleman's Fades. Shout out. All right. What else you got here?
Something that someone just texted me. That's right. Halloween week. Mm-hmm. If you don't know it, Halloween night, the 31st, is a great night to be in Vegas, or it could be a bad night, but it's a fun night. Go downtown on the 31st. Wow. You will see some things you've never seen before.
Yeah.
There is just so much stuff going on there. It's just a cool time to be in Vegas, Halloween, everyone dressed up.
Parlay, you and Margaret going down there for Halloween? No. You know, you guys are going to be as far away as possible from that.
I would imagine we will be as far away as humanly possible.
I'll be right there with you.
Yeah.
I will not do that.
But now, this is something, it's a lead in here, the Halloween thing. Be careful of, you know, we tell our kids about trick-or-treat and stuff, but be careful for the adults also when they're doing their searching on the net. I'm not going to say what companies, but there was two tweets up this past week of people that work for sports books that have over 1 million viewers between them. The first one floored me. Maybe I'll do that one last. The one was, this guy goes to his mother-in-law, and they talk about the games every weekend. They come up with the games that he's going to talk about on Twitter and his formats and Instagram and stuff. And I was like, how can he say that? Him and his mother-in-law are talking about games. People follow you. They trust you, you know? You have 700,000 followers. They're going to think you're that you know, they're going to follow your picks. You're going to have some of them. Some portion of those people are going to follow your picks, and you're not going to win with your mother-in-law. I mean, long-term. I mean, the second part was a tweet about flipping a coin. We're going to flip a coin this week on air, 500,000 viewers, flip a coin, and based on the coin flip, that's the way we're going to bet the game. And all the viewers are listening. You got over 100,000 views here. a coin flip? Really? Are we there? Or is that where we are on Twitter and social media? And these companies pay these people so much money, and you know, this is, it's not, it could be cute or whatever. It's not funny when you have a lot of viewers that this is they're new to this space, the sports betting space. I know when to be, you know, funny or entertaining, but I also know when to be serious. You don't mess with people's money. I'm sorry. You don't mess with their bankrolls by flipping coins and asking your mother-in-law for picks. So this is what Twitter has become, a lot of this, and I don't like it. I hate it. I hate it that people on Twitter, a lot of them are full of, you know what, or it's just a lot of trickery. It's bad.
It's such an interesting thing, though, Bill, because you and I are so close to the sun on this, right? This is in our DNA. We're so immersed in sports betting, and we sit here, and I do 5 hours of shows every day, Monday through Friday, and then do a podcast today, right? So I do 11 shows a week. And, you know, you research, you take notes. Like every Sunday, I'm taking notes on guessing lines. I can mention every little thing that I, you know, wanted to mention. And you do this very lovingly, and then you make your bets. All my tennis is data crunch and all this stuff. But those two things you just described right there, they'll get more views than we ever get.
Oh, they have over 100,000 each on that.
Ever, right?
Yeah.
So what does that tell you? Obviously, we knew that there's a low, you know, I don't want to say the lowest common denominator, because then that's you know, loaded language. What it is that it casts a much wider net. No matter what we do, that will always appeal to a much broader base of people in this country, because as you said, it's a whole new group of people coming up who are just, oh, it's legalized sports betting. I'm attracted to this person who's flipping a coin. I'm attracted to this person who's talking in money law. Not attracted to physically. I'm saying attracted to that humor, attracted to that comedy. But you're right, it does get a little serious if any of those people are like, oh, no, like this person won their first three bets. There's something to this mother-in-law thing, or there's something to this coin flip thing. Right, the coin flip person. What did you say, Jeff? A documented 3-0. What did you say?
Oh yeah, Jeff checked.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought you.
But the coin flip did win.
We were saying. So all it takes is like 3 in a row of those.
Oh yeah.
Where we're like, oh yeah, there's going to be people out there like, oh, there's something to this. This is happening.
Wow, that's scary. That, I mean, listen, over simulations, you could have coin flips, you know, 100,000 simulations. You'll have a period where there's 20 heads in a row come out. What does that mean? In the end, it should come out to 50-50 after millions of, I mean, anyway.
Let me just share a story about this. So a few years ago, this big Hollywood talent agency, like, had me in for a meeting, right? One of the big ones.
Yep.
CAA. So they had me in, right? And they're like, oh, this sports betting, it's blowing up, whatever. And the guys was with me for 45 minutes talking to me. And as I left there, I was like, why do I feel weird about what just happened? And what occurred to me was just talking about what you were just talking about. I realized, because this guy actually almost said it verbatim to me. He didn't quite say it verbatim, but he goes, it was essentially, I don't care if you're the best person in the world at what you do. He didn't say that, nor did I provoke him to say that, but this was what I left with. I don't care if you're the best person in the world at what you do. In the end, the lowest common denominator is going to win. And that's, as an agent, and they're parasitic by nature, right? They're there to make money. That's all he cared about.
Of course.
All he cared about.
Sure.
And so it was a fascinating lesson of exactly now what you're talking about, which is, yeah, you know, like this, a numbers game audience is the single most sophisticated gambling audience. I will match the numbers game audience against anybody else's in terms of sophistication.
Correct.
I love this audience because they're into the jokes, they're into the analysis of it. They love that sort of mix, and they get everything that's going on. But that audience will never be the coin flip audience.
Right.
It'll never be the coin flip audience. And you know what?
Right.
I'm very cool with being that dude.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But we have to just be able to accept that's a reflection of life, not only in gambling, but in other things.
Well, look at Action. Look at Action when we filmed Action. I didn't know who was on the show except for you. I knew Kelly was on it. And then we find out Vegas Dave's on it. And
the Showtime docuseries.
Showtime documentary Action.
Todd Wishnev on it as well.
And,
yeah.
And so what happens, though, there is he has his, you know, $400,000 Bentley Rolls-Royce, whatever, Bentley or Rolls-Royce truck, SUV. And that's all people see.
That's right.
They don't see the work that goes on, the analytics that goes on, the skill sets of a you know, bankroll management. They don't see any of that. They see Vegas Dave on Vegas, free Vegas Insider. Oh yeah, that's how I'm going to give out a game. You know what I mean? They see that, but they say, "Oh well, he has that car.
It's amazing. The producer,
he has that house and that car."
Remember, you and I talked to the producers were so convinced that it was so clear what they were presenting that the audience would absolutely get how ridiculous this person was. But in the end, what you're saying is probably won out, which is nope. No. They just saw the glitz.
I had to block people on Twitter and say, "You drive a Kia." He drives a Rolls Royce. Who am I going to listen to? Is that all it takes? Because I can go out and buy one tomorrow and put it in front of my house. Cash. I mean, is that really? I mean, I don't. That's how stupid some people are. Especially the crowd, the under 30 crowd. That's all they care about is cribs and different things like that. I mean,
The world, man.
We're gone.
Yeah, we got to go.
10 more things.
Lombardi line next. We'll have to save it for next week. Enjoy. Good luck with the game tonight. Visa, the Sports Betting Network.